Good morning, everyone. We are getting ready to do our weekly Q&A. And while you guys are coming in, I want to talk about some announcements first, and then we're going to go into a topic that I think is good for all of us to hear. I actually created a post the other day on this, and I'm going to read some of it off to you. We're going to talk about judgment and why it sucks. And why we need to be on the watch for it, especially when it comes to judging ourselves. I think this is an easy time of year to kind of judge yourself because we're coming up on the end of 2020. And I just want to give you a little talk about it and give you some really good advice on how to go into the next few days to where you're set up to have your brain pointed in the right direction, not have your brain pointed in judging of yourself and others, therefore increasing the desire to eat. I want you to think about this. The majority of us here in NoBS are here for one reason. When we eat, it is to either create some joy and happiness. We're using food to comfort us and food to enjoy and feel good and all these other things, or we're doing it to escape pain and to escape our bullshit. Anytime you're judging yourself or other people, it's going to feel like shit to some degree. You're going to feel very like justified. It's not actually a good feeling. If you all think about it, whenever you feel justified, you're only needing to feel justified because for some reason you had thoughts before that felt pissy. When we are judging, we just always have a yuck about us. There's something going on in there. And if you are feeling that way, you will either eat to feel better, like I just need to take the edge off. I just can't do this right now. You'll be seeking the feelings of relief and such, or you'll be trying to just escape feeling bad. So I really want to talk about it because it comes up in so many different ways this time of year. And especially with COVID going on, it is super easy to fall into judging how your family is dealing with it. And I'm just going to sit here and tell all of you, my answer to judgment is this. When we are judging, we are usually almost always looking at one moment of time and forming an opinion, and we are ignoring the person as a whole. We are ignoring other perspectives. We are ignoring the potential of the people. That includes when you look in the mirror. When you look in the mirror or you get on the scale and you're throwing shade, this is the time that you are judging yourself one moment in time, ignoring the total person, not looking at what everything, new perspectives, all the good that comes along with you. So it's just important for us to really think about when we're judging ourselves and other people. I can't think of a time recently where I was judging and there was a huge upside to it. Even when somebody's doing something that I completely disagree with, absolutely disagree, rather than judging that they shouldn't do it, I like to drop into understanding what's in my control. Take care of my own house. Like, say the things that are important to me. This year, if 2020 hasn't taught us anything, it has taught us that, well, I would just say this. There's lots of amazing things about 2020. I'm just going to tell you, I think that we're going to do this on Sunday during my call. We're going to do the year in review for 2020. Because whatever story you're telling about 2020, that is the energy that you're going to be using to start your 2021 and create from. And the other thing that I don't want any of us doing is running from 2020, thinking that somehow a new year is a fix when we never looked at our mindset. So that's what we're going to be doing this Sunday with me at noon Central Time. But one of the things that 2020 has also done, it has normalized judgment. It has been the year where we're all sitting around judging people for all kinds of stuff, and it has become normalized in social media particularly. where everybody feels honor bound and entitled to tell someone else how to live their life, how to think. People have shut each other out, stopped listening this year. And it's heartbreaking to me, especially as someone who has seen both sides so much. And here's my promise to all the Novius women. In this group, we're not judging. If you disagree with someone on something, awesome. But you do not post in my group from an angry heart. I don't believe in that. I don't teach that. The moment you're getting ready to reply to someone, you better damn well check your feelings, just like I teach you. Because if you can't check your feelings in that moment, you can't check them in the pantry. You can't check them in the refrigerator. You can't check them in the middle of a meal. One of the best places to learn how to pause your feelings and think about what you're doing and evaluate is when your feelings are so strong. When you're feeling frustrated and angry and you feel like you need to make a response, that is your warning light on your dashboard of feelings to pause your ass. To look at, like, if I got time to judge someone, is my house in order yet on all the things? If it's not, stop. Just dead stop. Because the first way you start learning how to manage emotions is with the strong ones, the ones that are in your face. They're not hiding. You get good at that, the subtle ones become easier. The little moments when you're wanting to eat, the little moments when you're throwing yourself under a bed, you just kind of feel bad, but you don't understand why. All of that becomes much more clear. So I want all of you to sit around and think more about what is in my control. Do I have 100% understanding of myself and my opinion in this moment? Because with judgment, you suffer the most, not somebody else. You're the one that gets to feel bad. And it's important to know when you're doing it, especially I think about when you are judging other people, I know that means you judge you. Anytime you catch yourself judging other people for any reason, whether they're too thin, too big, not eating the way that you think they should. Like, it comes in a lot of forms. The way that they dress. Whether they celebrate holidays or not. When you notice those things in yourself, that is your tripwire to be like, I catch myself judging in these areas. I wonder where I might even be judging myself. Go to work. Can't work on others yet because you're like, and I'm not saying all your opinions have to change. I just want you to be aware of when you're sitting around thinking about stuff, like having an opinion about somebody else's life. It takes time away from you forming the opinions you want about your own life. Sitting and deciding how you want to think about your body, how you want to think about how you showed up in 2020 and how you want to show up in the future. I always think I don't have time to figure out somebody else's life when I haven't got my own figured out yet. I want to read this to you because earlier this week, I don't remember who it was, but I commented on her post. We had a member come in who had a tough year. Just had a tough year. And she ended up gaining weight. She was worried about the holidays because she's like, I fucked up this year. And now I got Christmas week. I'm just going to sit here. I'm probably going to eat my face off. And then she said, I just don't know how I let this happen. And so I replied to her, and I want to read it to you guys because I think it's important as we go into holiday week. And it says, and this is where she was judging herself. I want you to think about her post, full of self-judgment, looking at herself in a moment in time, forgetting her character, forgetting all that is like all the things about her, forgetting to take stock in anything that's amazing about her life. I mean, hell, if you guys, I will just say this before I even read it. If you are listening to the words coming out my mouth right now, you either have you have access to the internet for one, a phone or a fucking computer. You probably have heat on. And you have your life and a life ahead of you. But to hear most of us tell it, it is way easier for me to get you guys to tell me what's wrong with your life than it is to actually sit around and tell me what all's right about it. That's perspective. That's the difference between judging your life and knowing exactly what's in control and what you're going to build upon from. There's got to be more of that going on this year. And the shit's going to start in this group. And we're not going to judge each other in here for anything. If somebody's having a bad day, we don't judge. We help, or we let somebody else who's in a better mind space, who's not judging, help. If you don't like the way somebody lives, your job is not to be in no BS calling people out for how they live. Your job is to make sure you're living your best life. That's what being a no BS woman is all about. So this week, I'm going to read you what I wrote to her. This week, if you were going to truly enjoy yourself with food, what would you plan and what would you not plan to eat? Way better use of her brain energy to be thinking about that versus what she fucked up all year long. I asked her, what's worth it this week and what's not? Make that list rather than making your list of why you're worthless. What can you do to make sure you are well rested and hydrated so that you're not sitting around faux hungry? Get the water. Get the sleep this week rather than mindlessly scrolling around to see who else's life is better than yours right now. Who's doing what that you aren't? Be taking care of you. What's an easy way to eat enough without feeling stuffed? That's an easy question. All of us could, like, for all of you who are afraid to fucking journal, answer that this week. Easy question. What are some easy ways to eat enough and not feel stuffed? It's all I got to do this week. I ain't got to do nothing else. Those are some things to put your brain to work on instead of what you're doing, which is putting your mind to work on how big you are and how you got to this point. Nothing's good to be had going down Judgment Road. It is rare that judging others or yourself works in your favor. Be mindful of how much time you spend doing that job. If you are going to spend time thinking, use your mind to think about what's possible, not what you think is impossible. And then the last thing I'll leave you with, I was actually reading an article. I'll post it. Mary Jo, I'll send it to you. You can post it in the comments in here. Is never mind searching for who you are or who others are. Search for the person that you just aspire to be. I can't say it much better than that. All right. that's what I want you guys doing. Mary Jo, I've got a picture of that post. I may have tagged someone in it. If you want, you can copy and paste the questions that I had posted. In fact, I'll just post the picture again in the group today so that it's there. So for all of you who want to see those questions, you can have them. So I'll put them in the Facebook group today. And Mary Jo, I'll give it to you in Slack. So when y'all upload the replay of this video, for all of our non-Facebook users, maybe we can figure out how to attach it on the website too. Or we can just type up the questions and give it to them. All right. Let's see what you guys got. Jennifer says, I started planning correctly after a year in the membership. Finally feel like it's clicking. Good for you. That's called sticking with it. That's called commitment, Jennifer. I just want you to take a pause for a second to allow yourself to realize that's what winners do. Winners commit to the process no matter what the process looks like. The process always unfolds ahead of you. And you just decided that whatever that process was, I'll just keep trying. So let's see what else. You had a question though. I'm just wondering what thought can replace my thought of, I hope I can keep this up. I will keep this up. There's no reason not to just tell yourself that. I hope I can keep this up just opens the door for doubt. So it's one of those things that it's like, well, I don't know if I believe I will keep it up yet. I don't care if you believe it. You know what your brain needs? Directives. Right now, you're giving it the directive of, my friend Rachel Hart, who does the Take a Break podcast from drinking with Rachel Hart. She calls it the plan B. A lot of times what we have is like, this is what I want to do, but I'll talk about it because I know there's a plan B. And plan B is, I probably won't. Just don't give yourself plan B type directives with your mind. If you're going to talk powerfully to your brain. How long should it take to understand my hunger signals? I'm still struggling with satisfied and I've been working hard to since October. There's not a timeline on it. It's ever changing is the big thing. It's like a lot of you, I think, get very hung up when it comes to your hunger cues as I'm going to find these hunger cues and those are going to be the ones and I'm going to have it unlocked and then the rest of it will be easy. Eventually you'll find the big ones, but you will have subtle ones. And sometimes what you'll have is you'll have thinking that's a little louder than what your physical signals are, and that's okay. The real purpose of us teaching you, like to ask the question, am I hungry? Let me check in. Have I had enough? Let me check in. Is to develop the habit of checking in versus checking out. As long as you are evaluating at all times and taking guesses, like, I think this is hunger. Guess what? If you think it's hunger, it is. If you don't think it's hunger, guess what? It's not. That's this moment's hunger signals. I think a lot of you put a lot of pressure on you having to be right about the hunger signals versus I don't have to be right. I have to trust myself to believe I'm figuring it out. No one in this group is overweight because they overly checked in with their hunger cues. I mean, can I get an amen? If you are the one who is like, you know what? I've overly checked my hunger cues this entire time and gained weight. Raise your hand. I want to know you and investigate you. But I think the majority of us, the reason why we're here, that's not really been the case for us. It's more of been like, we haven't really fucking paid attention. We didn't even think it was important. Whenever we had hunger cues, we overrode them because we were on some batshit crazy diet that told us like Weight Watchers. Y'all, here's a good example. I can't tell you how many times I went on fucking Weight Watchers and I would be starving, but out of points. Starving. I mean, legit hungry. And I would ignore those hunger cues, telling myself I couldn't eat. You know, Oprah wasn't even there at the time. I don't even know who owned it, but whoever was doing it, they knew better about my body than I ever would. Wrong. Then I'd have days where I'd not be hungry at all, and I'd have points. Guess what I'd be doing? Woo, I get to eat. never really learning jack shit about my body, never really doing any of it. So I want you guys checking in. You will be taking your stomach everywhere you go for the rest of your life and your brain. And those are the only two things you need to know have in order to get to a weight that you want. So it's all about the checking in and not checking out. That's way more important than having every single cue absolutely dialed. I keep restarting and restarting. Well, at least you're restarting, Kimberly. You know what some people do? Quit. Peace out, A-Town. Like, it's a no. Y'all, please quit thinking that restarting is a problem. I love the idea that I was someone who was willing to restart and try again until I figured it out. It's a luscious thought. Y'all talk about restarting like you're just something's broken and wrong with you. That is some bullshit. You ain't got time to sit around and judge yourselves like that. That is a judgment. That is restarting over and over again is not a fact. It is your interpretation of your ass being committed to figuring your shit out no matter how long it takes. One of us is talking about you like a fucking hero. The other one is talking about you like a chump. And then you wonder why you're frustrated with the process. We frustrate ourselves. All right, so listen. I know it works, but I just sabotage myself because I want to eat. It feels frustrating that I've been doing this type of thing to myself for 20 years. A big part of the frustration, Kimberly, is you're still in what we call judgment land over your behaviors. If you guys, last Saturday, I gave you guys the four, it's so hard for me. This is your version of it's so hard for me. You're thinking like a failure rather than thinking like your future self. The first thing that has to happen is you've got to be hearing all of your stuff. Right now, I keep restarting and restarting rather than thinking, good, because I know one day I'm going to figure out my self-sabotage behaviors. You're thinking, I keep doing this to myself over and over again. As if you're just sitting around purposely trying to fuck your life up. That is not what any of you do. Self-sabotage is not purposeful fucking up. Self-sabotage is when you hit a point where your brain has two stories conflicting with each other. That's it. It's not as dramatic as you guys think. So number one, I want you to hear those sentences that I just told you. You get to decide how you describe yourself, Kimberly. If you were talking to your future self, here's what she would not be doing. Your future self who loses her weight and restarted a fucking 1,000 times, and every time she makes a mistake, she's like, this is not a problem. And here's why. I'm willing to keep going. When I feel like ass, I'm willing to keep going. Whatever it takes. Whenever you have some of these old shitty thoughts, I want you to be like, it's not a problem. New thinking. Where's my new thinking? Right here. I'm going to replace it with a new thought. Oh, I thought me restarting meant something was wrong with me and that I'm a self-sabotager. I'm wrong. It means I'm very committed to the process and figuring out my patterns. That's what restarting actually means. Dedicated to figuring out my patterns. And when you do that thought process, guess what? You get to do new things. You know what future self does? She takes all her little patterns that she figures out. And she takes her happy ass over to the ass coaches inside No BS. She's like, I think I might be self-sabotaging. Here's patterns I'm noticing. Here's things I'm noticing. She'd come back to ask coaches every day and twice on Sunday if she had to post things to figure out, all right, how are we going to unlock this puzzle? I got coaches. I got a community of No BS women. I got calls I can listen to. What else do I need? Oh, wait. To get out of my fucking way with doo-doo thinking. That's the only thing you got right now, Kimberly. When did you realize you were meant to help other women and really deep dive into that thought work? Thought and work. Okay. I remember, like, I literally remember this moment. This was, I'd lost my weight. So when I lost my weight, I'd been exercising and doing things and like really just overhauled my life. Like the entire time that I was losing weight, I had changed how I thought about myself. Like I had, you know, always thought very negatively about me. And when I was losing weight, one of the things that was very conscious for me was a lot of purposeful thinking. I would hear myself say really awful things. I mean, let me just say, you are not someone who suffers with depression and tries to kill themselves at 17 and have some mental ninja mindset. Like, I know a lot of you just think that this is how I am. No, this is a creation. You know all this, like, doo-doo work I tell you guys to do that y'all fight with me? I'm so hard and I'm crying. I get, like, a million thoughts. Girl, I did all this and continue to do it. Every bit. I was broken when I started. In two. I didn't even have super glue yet. And so the entire time, I talked differently to myself. Every time that I thought the scale wasn't moving fast enough, I would tell myself, that's some horseshit. You know what you're doing? You now exercise. You pay better attention to your food than you ever have in your entire life. You actually eat fucking fruit. You never even ate fucking fruit. Like, I reminded myself every time I had a shitty thought of who I was becoming constantly. It was a job. And it felt very fake at first. When I busted up into the gym at 250 in my husband's clothes, do not sit there and think that I was like, body positivity's walking in the door. It was a no. I took all my shame, my self-doubt, my worries, and my fear of who I, like, what people were going to think of me. And I got on the treadmill and I said, I just need to get this done today. I just stayed really focused on the little thought changes. So as I continued to shut that shit down and started creating new thinking for myself and using it as often as I could, of course, my weight started coming off, and then it was coming off easier and easier as I went because I didn't have all the thinking constantly slowing me down like I had in other diets. I was always trying to lose weight with my old thinking, like trying to think about how terrible I was and how it probably wouldn't work and that I needed to suffer and I would burn out. So I'm standing in the mirror one day and I hadn't lost all my weight yet, but I was probably about 170, something like that. And when I first lost my weight, I had a lot of loose skin, but I had like no boobs. I was an A cup. I mean, they're nice now, but mama's paid for a bunch of them. Just saying. I buy boobs like some people buy cars. But I had a really small upper body. Always did anyway. And I was standing in the mirror and I was tucking my shirt in. I was going to go to Opryland Hotel with Logan and Chris to look at Christmas lights. And I was tucking my shirt in because my upper body was so small. I was like, I think I could tuck my shirt in today. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror and I was so excited. And I looked at Chris and I cried and I said, I just feel amazing. And I want to help women feel amazing because not every woman feels this way. Because I knew the prison that I had lived in my own mind for so long. And it was that day I told him, I was like, what do you think about me getting a personal trainer certificate? It's like, I've been going to the gym and I love like learning about this stuff. Y'all know me. I love learning about stuff. And the only way that I knew how to help women back in the day was I really thought I was going to be a personal trainer to do it. I didn't know any other way. And so I studied to get my ACE exam. I got my ACE exam. I got it at an Office Depot. You had to actually go in person. You couldn't cheat and take it out of a book. I had to do it old school.
I never got a gym job. I was too afraid that women wouldn't want to work with me because of how I looked. I didn't have my mindset totally dialed just yet. I'd had my mindset on how to lose my weight, but I didn't have my mindset tight yet on how I was going to help people do it. I still had a lot of self-worth issues. I still felt like my worthiness has always been the part I work on the hardest. And Chris was just like, you can do anything. Like, he always believed I could do anything. So I started. Logan was going to Mother's Day out. We needed him to do some stuff, to get some socialization and things like that. And I had like 2.5 hours every day, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And so I'd sit on the couch and I'd go to the Weight Watchers message boards. It was like the only weight loss game in town. And so, hang on 1 second. We get the door, baby. Thank you. And so every day I would start this little thread called, hang on 1 second, guys. I'm sorry. What was it, baby? Okay, just go get him because I'm on my call. Tell daddy I'm live right now. Okay, so anyway, sorry, the mailman's here and he needs to speak to an adult. This adult is on a call. So anyway, I would go and I would start the little thread called Ask a Trainer. And every single day, I would answer people's questions. And what was funny is they were rarely asking me anything about exercise. Sometimes they did, but most of the time, because I had lost so much weight, people just wanted to know how I did it. So I started, a lot of it was mindset stuff. I didn't even know I was doing it back then. So I started a blog because I noticed that my thread was getting longer and longer and longer every day, and I couldn't keep up. And I wanted to. So I started a blog where I could like copy and paste the responses, put it in a blog article, and I would write one every day. And then when people had a similar question, I would just link them over to my blog. I did that for a long time. And then that's when I thought, I really want to work with women. And so I just put an email out to anybody that was subscribed to my blog and said, I'm going to help people through email. Who wants it? And that's where it all kind of started. And then I put out workout plans and stuff in the beginning when I first started PNP, Fit and Fat. I did that for a while, but we always had a community built around it. Like I would say 80%, you can ask any of the old, we've got about 60 OGs in here that are still here from back in the day. The majority of the time, we were always talking about mindset. And I was constantly talking to them about mindset, 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 because I knew that's what the big change for me was. And then in 2015, I found Bert Castillo of the Life Coach School, who was talking about mindset in a very organized way. And then it clicked. And I mean, it was literally like the light bulb exploded in my head. I heard a few podcasts and immediately signed up to get certified. Because I knew I didn't want to give people exercise plans anymore. I didn't want to tell people what foods to eat because that wasn't helping. People needed to believe in themselves in order to eat whatever food they put on their plan. People needed to fall in love with being the best version of themselves so that they could let go of foods that they think create love and fulfillment for them. Women didn't need an exercise plan. They needed the confidence to move their body in any of the way that they wanted. And so that was how it all started for me. And it just has been an evolution this entire time. I love the mindset work. It's what brings me every bit of the joy. It's what helps me, like, feel fulfilled, because it's like, it goes back to that day when I wanted everyone to feel amazing. You know, even then I didn't quite get
that in order to feel amazing, the reason why I felt so amazing was because I thought amazing things about me for the first time in my life. And I just feel like now I get to fulfill that purpose. All right. Any advice for eating to put on muscle? 6 months of heavy lifting 5 days a week and eating hungry to satisfy. And I haven't put on any muscle. I eat 120 grams. Yeah. Lee, the best way to put on muscle, you actually, it's so funny you asked this question after I get through talking about me being an ACE certified trainer. And I used to be a bodybuilder and stuff. Actually, to put on muscle, you really need to eat in a surplus. That's the best way that muscle gets built. So if you're lifting heavy, I mean, I'm not going to be your expert on this, obviously, but I will say eating to satisfied doesn't grow muscle. Eating to satisfied or enough is what's going to preserve the muscle you have while you lift. The lifting's going to challenge the muscle you have. And I will just tell you, the majority of us have way more muscle than we give ourselves credit for, regardless as to how much you've exercised and lifted weights and all that kind of stuff. Just the sheer moving of your body around and stuff. We all have a good bit of muscle. Muscle is what I always used to tell people, it's the shrink wrap for your bones. That's why I have women strength. Well, I don't have you do it, but one of the reasons why I encourage so much strength training is because as we get older, you know, our bones get more brittle. And so one way to attack it is, you know, just by how you eat and how you, the nutrition you have. The other is by making sure that when you're strength training, you're putting more and more bubble wrap around your muscles, around your bones. That's important to me. One of the reasons why I got so into strength training, not only because I just love, in fact, I lifted today, but one of the reasons why I've loved it is because joint issues, broken bones, arthritis, all that stuff is like runs strong in my family. I have watched, you know, my grandmother probably, you know, I just watched her just go downhill because she never did those kinds of things. So many of the women in my family have broken things and, you know, like barely fell and, you know, busted out their hip and stuff. My goal is to be able to fall down in my 80s, get back up underneath my own power and nothing be broken. More people, when they get to their 70s and their 80s, the first time they break something and they have to be immobile for a while and stuff, it can take years off their life if they're not careful. So that's a big compelling reason for me for lifting weights. But you need to be in a little bit of a surplus. So you may be wanting to eat to just above enough with your food. That will add muscle. And then you can go back. You can do that for like a couple of months while you lift heavy. And then you could go back and eat to just like enough to trim a little bit off. But that's the best way I know. But there are, of course, I'm sure there's books and better authorities on it than me at this point. When I have a holiday dinner, I plan my day with all the things, but I purposefully eat less or substitute lunch with extra water or a small snack because I want to be hungry for the holiday meal. Is this me consciously eating or is this restrictive diet mentality? It can be a little bit of all of it, honestly. It can be like, you know, I'm cutting back here to overeat there. It can be like, I'm just choosing this for that. It just really depends on how you feel. Do you like that? If you... And this is the thing that when it comes to the holidays, guys, it's a meal or it's a couple meals. It's not the habit pattern. Now, I'm not saying for all of you to go out and green light and eat your face off and do all the things. I still want you conscious. But like in this case, I just want you to consciously decide what you're going to have and then consciously decide, you know, I can have a lighter lunch. And then I'm going to like have a little bit more than I normally would at dinner. I just want you conscious. That's the theme. What I don't want is for a lot of you to do this. Eat hardly anything during the day so that you can just turn your brain off at night and just like, I'm going to eat without caring a little at all in the world. And then just do your normal habit of when you're stressed or you're eating for joy and all this other stuff. Like for those of you who haven't really been able to enjoy your food and stay conscious yet,
I don't want you doing that. There's never a reason to just say, fuck it. I'm owed this. Let's just go. You don't need that behavior anymore. None of you need that. No food has ever been taken away from you in this program. None. You always get to decide what you want to do. If you want to eat, you just eat. I'm trying to teach you to like your reasons when you do it. I've had a goal of 135 since joining in June of 2019. I was at 172 when I joined, got down to 143 while training for DSB, which is Don't Stop Believing 2020, which went online. Have slowly worked my way back up to 155. I'm considering whether to adjust the goal to my goal because 135 seems unreachable. I don't ever change goals because they feel unreachable. I want you to just think about that. There's lots of good reasons to change goals, but saying, well, I probably can't do it, so I'm just going to not do it. It doesn't emotionally grow you. That's the thing I don't like about that. It's like, so what if it's impossible? You probably, hell, when you joined at 172, were you like, I'm for fuck sure going to be 135, or I'm for fuck sure going to be 143, or I'm for fuck sure going to run a half marathon? Probably not. Your goals when you first joined probably seemed unreachable, but you did it anyway, and you went for it. There's no problem with the pursuit of it. There's also no problem with saying, I've just decided. Like, decide why you don't want to go for it anymore, but don't do it because you've decided it's unreachable for you. Always believe, like, I could do the work. I know I could. But maybe you don't choose to anymore, and that's okay. Let's see what else you said. I found a thought. Maintaining my weight will be hard no matter what goal weight I choose. That's a thought to really work on, which makes me think I'm quitting on the goal rather than adjusting it for good reasons. Yeah. So I'm dead on. You're dead on. You want to work on, like, let's put it this way. No matter what you weigh, if you believe it's going to be hard, you're going to create a lot of hardness. You'll overeat more and think it's because of maintenance versus figuring out why you're actually overeating. This is how a lot of times that hard shit screws us over. It's like a lot of you who lose your weight will say, the reason why I'm struggling right now is because, you know, that last 10, that last 20, it's just really hard. The last 10 or last 20 are not hard. If you're sitting around focusing on that range being the problem versus figuring out why you're overeating, yeah, it will make it real hard because you're not working on a solution. You're blaming. You know, if blaming burned calories, we'd all be thin. Unfortunately, it does nothing but add weight to the bottom line. I really need help with urges. My systems are not solid, and knowing that creates extra stress because I will blow my weekly goal sometimes. So your systems not being solid does not create stress. You have your systems and you have a thought. They're not solid. So I want all of you to hear this. You need to hear this. So many of you think your thoughts are real. Like, no, this is the truth. Let me show you my broken systems, Corinne. Like, show them all to you. You also could say, my systems aren't solid yet, but I'm working on it. Or you could sit there and say they're not solid, and that's why I'm blowing my goal, which feels stressful. My systems are something I'm still figuring out. With enough time, energy, and patience, I bet I can do it. My systems are something that I haven't figured out yet,
So I'll take that shit to the ass coaches and see what help they can offer me. There's 1,000 different ways your perspective can change on your systems that don't create stress for you. But knowing that you have these systems and they're not solid, that's not what's stressful. It's what you're making it mean that causes your stress. Y'all have to really watch about how you describe stuff to yourself. If you're blowing your weekly plan sometimes, don't sit there and say, it's because I don't have good systems. Sit there and say, like, I want you to think about this. If you blow your weekly plan, rather than sitting around, yeah, I ain't got good systems, that goes to judgment. You're judging yourself. You could think, I bet when I refine my system, it'll be easier next week. I'm willing to test, tweaking this. Way better thinking. Very directive. Tells your brain what to focus on. Please, for all of you, please, 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 don't be so quick to think you're a problem or that things are bad or that you're fucked up because you haven't figured it out yet. I think that's one of the biggest problems I see with all of you is you're way too quick to decide things are broken and to feel frustrated and stressed and stuff rather than, you know what the hardest thing to do is to be patient, redirect your brain and say, fuck it. It's time to think on purpose. I know what old me wants to do. Old me wants to make this a problem. Old me wants to panic. Old me wants to think about all the ways that I've like failed in the past. Old me wants to do all that. Yeah, well, I'm not trying to be old me. I'm trying to be future me. So I'm going to have to ask her and I'm going to have to think more like her and stop the shenanigans of old me today. And that doesn't mean how you act. You stop the thinking shenanigans, you'll do better later. But how you're thinking will always drive how you're doing. My 2021 goal board has lots of topics. Do you think that planning for too many goals can be setting myself up for overwhelm? Nothing sets you up for overwhelm. Thinking sets you up for overwhelm. So when you look at all of it, you need to ask yourself, what are my thoughts? Make a list. Look for the ones that are overwhelming. That's how you'll know if you're setting yourself up for overwhelm. And it won't be because you have too many things. It'll be like, I either want to keep all of them and I'm going to need to watch for this thinking. And that's going to be how I achieve them, by not falling into overwhelm with these thoughts, by working on thinking new things when these come up. Or you say like, God, I got a lot of shitty thoughts. Do I want to work on all of that? Or do I want to practice constraint? And just pick one, two, or three, whatever it is that you feel comfortable with, to get good at managing your mind around going after goals. Because the moment that you get good at managing your mind around going after goals, y'all, you've learned the skill of managing your mind. That means you can insert any goal and mind management is there. Let's see. I stopped drinking over 5 years ago. Best decision ever. Had lots of support and thought work. Why is stopping overeating more challenging than getting sober? I don't know. I would just ask myself, what are the differences between the thinking that I have around overeating and when I stopped overdrinking? Sometimes it goes to something like, well, I didn't have to drink, but I have to eat. If that's a thought, then you need to like tweak the thought. Like, well, I don't have to overeat. Like, you just need to look at what is the difference between the two thinking and see if you can adopt more thinking around why you quit drinking and how you did that
and apply it to the overeating side. And sometimes this also happens when people quit one vice, when they quit like drinking or smoking or doing something, they may pick another one up. So it's like, well, I'm not drinking when I'm stressed. Now I'm just eating when I'm stressed. So I've quit drinking. Like, make sure that when you quit drinking, that whatever was triggering you to want to drink, that you've done the mental work around that. Otherwise, you're just substituting eating now to take yourself out of having to deal with those feelings or creating the feelings you want and stuff like that. What is Lush thinking about the new you? The key word being Lush. Word hippo did not satisfy me. Trying to be the new me now that I got to my goal weight. I don't know. I mean, I would just think, like, what are things that I think? Well, I'm often thinking I'm a badass. I take a lot of like pride in myself. Just like today, y'all, I got y'all's call and one coaching call today with the coaches. I didn't have to dress up, but I'm going to tell you, I decided today, I was just like, we get to dress up any day we want. Like, I was just like, we're going to look like a sexy beast today. And so let me show you my outfit. So I got my, whatever you call these coated faux leather brown pants on. I got my little silk top, but check out my shoes. I am working in these bad boys and stomping around my house in them today. I am. And that comes from me thinking like I deserve to feel good every day. Just, and then like take it. Like a lot of times I just sit and I write and I just think about, I'm just so proud of you. Like that was really hard for me for many years to like just list all the reasons why I was so proud of myself and talk to myself about, you know, you're just so smart and here's why. You know, I felt dumb for most of my life. The majority, I mean, I literally probably didn't even start feeling smart until this year, honestly. 2020 was the year that I really started feeling really intelligent. And I had to convince myself that I was intelligent. I always thought other people were smarter than me, that I just got by, that I always told myself, you're just a hard worker. I always felt like I had to outwork people because I wasn't smart enough. And I knew I was good. I was a hard worker. Always have been. Came out of the womb working hard. But I didn't want to limit myself. And I just decided that I was intelligent and smart. I didn't need a degree, and I didn't need somebody to tell me it was okay to think it either. I had to tell me it was okay to think it. So just make a list of the things you want to think about yourself. Like, what are the things you want to think about you? And push yourself to think like, what are the things that I'm almost a little shameful to even think? This is what I will tell all of you. For women in particular, it is very hard for us to ever cross the boundary and go into being an egotistical bastard. We are not conditioned to think highly of ourselves. We are conditioned to apologize for taking up too much space, to, you know, put others before us, to take care of other people before we take care of us. And I'm not saying, like, I'm one to take care of you guys for sure. But I'm also, don't do it as if it's either you or me, my family or me. It's like, we're doing all of us. And my brain is always going to work on that. So, you know, for a lot of you to think amazing things, it's going to feel like vomit because you've never either been told those things, never been demonstrated those things by other women. I mean, one of the reasons why I talk, and you're going to see me talk way more openly in 2021 about building my business. I take so much pride in it. And I'm not ashamed of it. It's allowing me to do things for my family I never dreamed possible. There's not a day that goes by in my life where one of you, if not bunches of you, post an email how your life has changed. And that's because I dropped shame. I dropped hiding. When one of us goes first, it makes it easier for the rest of us to follow. So you're going to hear me talk about believing in yourself, celebrating yourself. We're going to talk more about our future selves than we've ever talked before in this group. So much of next year is geared around all of the future self stuff. And my word for 2021, and I encourage, we'll talk about it on Sunday. We're talking about several things on Sunday in my call as we review 2020 and set ourselves up. I want to do the 2020 review because when we do the big call where I'm going to teach you guys the how to be successful with your goals, I want us to be able to make sure that the story we tell of ourselves in 2020 sets us up for an amazing 2021, that we're not trying to just write off 2020 and start over. Nobody is starting over. We're building. And every one of you, no matter what today you think about yourself in 2020, know this: you survived. You showed up, probably in ways that you never thought you would have to. And I don't care if you ate, and I don't care if you gained weight. You at least learned in 2020 through the eating and stuff that in some cases, that might have been the best you could do, and you're still going. Because if you're listening to this, you're still here. And the best is just yet to come. So we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to have you guys pick a word. I've had my team already do it. My word is unstoppable. That is what I'm going into 2021 with. Because in 2020, I am most proud that I never gave up on y'all. It would have been so easy to think that nobody wants to lose weight during COVID and whatnot. And I didn't do that. I decided that more women needed our help. More women needed to be here and not starting Weight Watchers and not doing that other shit. And I feel like in 2021, I will be going in the best version of me ever. And that's what I want for you guys. You didn't have to have an amazing year to be going into 2021 as the best version of you. That's just a decision. It's just a decision on how you think about your year. That's it. I just want to teach you guys how to make so many good decisions this year. Not only about your food and your health, but about yourself and about your dreams and who you want to be. All right, guys, that's all I got. I have to get tidied up because I have the coaches next. We're actually planning content in we've already planned our January, February, March content for all you guys. We are going to be starting talking about what we're going to be doing in April, May, and June. So very proud of the entire No BS team that continues to grow and continues to think about the future. It's going to be hard for me to teach you guys to focus on your future self if we're not planning ahead like bosses. So if I didn't get your question answered, guys, feel free to post in the Facebook group. We have the community, you have your peers, you have all of us coaches and stuff checking in, or you can take it over to Ask Coaches if you want. Also know that we are finishing up the migration, which means we are updating and upgrading our backend website. You guys don't see that part, but we are continuing to do the final stuff for the next week or two. If you have any technical problems at all, like if menus look weird all at once or you can't get logged in or whatever, all you have to do is email support@pnptribe.com and make it attention Samantha. There's just lots of little pieces that have to get plugged and done all in the right ways. And so sometimes when we fix one thing, we break another, which is very common in the tech world. This is not anything to panic about. It's just if you're going to remove all your plumbing and put it all brand new, beautiful stuff in, you know, sometimes the toilet ain't going to flush right the first go. So, but we are getting it fixed. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.